Welcome to the Athletes in Action podcast.
We are a sports ministry serving athletes at the University of Missouri.
Join us weekly for conversations about faith and sport.
And that's one of the questions that I actually want to talk to you tonight about is, what does it look like? Have you ever thought about why sport? Have you ever thought about why sport? Like, if you look, literally, every country in the world, they have sport. Isn't that interesting? Like, they're so vast, they're so different, there's so many things that are unique to those countries, yet all of them participate in sport. I think there's something to that, and I want you to think with me, as we look at these pictures, these are some of the iconic photos in sport that have come over the last decades. Can you think with me, talk to me, what does sport do? When you see those, what awakens in your heart? Unites people. Okay, good. What else? Kason?
I see like a passion. Like they all seem super passionate.
Okay. Good. What else? What does sport do? When you think about you, why you have now played for 15 years, why sport? What's it doing? Okay. You said goals, and it's motivating you to achieve. Dariana.
It instills discipline.
Okay. It builds discipline. Does anybody find, you find meaning in it? You find purpose, passion. Teaches you how to overcome adversity, right? It gives a common language. I hope, is it still fun? Okay. I hope that there's some element of that it's still fun. But I think we also do it hoping that it brings out the best. You know, when there's a worthy opponent, somebody that if you're going to win, you've got to give your very best, and it's going to take everything that you have. I think sport does that. No, I liked what you said about it uniting people, but if you look all across the world, it takes people of different backgrounds, regardless of their economic status, regardless of their ethnicity, sport brings them together. It's a uniting feature. And I think it inspires us to be great. I'm sure when you look at some of those, you can remember where you were, some of those where you were moments when you saw that. Maybe you're 6, maybe you're 7, and you see it on TV, and you're like, Mom, I want to be that. And it births something in your heart. I think sport also, it's just an intrinsic part of culture. Like if you look at those pictures, some of those pictures, they just become moments in it. Like it captivates a country. It captivates a people. And I also believe that it mirrors the human experience a little bit. So my question to you tonight to consider, could it be that sport is a metaphor for life in the kingdom of God? Could it be that sport, that God created or allowed people to think of sport as a picture of what the kingdom is like? In just a few, September 7th, I think, will be our first home game. Many of us will be at the stadium, we'll be looking down like that, and you'll have two teams lined up across from each other. I want to talk to you tonight, as I believe sport is a picture of the kingdom of God. And I believe it's a picture. Sport is temporary. The kingdom of God is eternal. But I think sport is a temporary picture showing us what the eternal is like. And I also want to encourage you, just like Mamola, to become an active participant in the kingdom of God. Now, you think about sport. Do you like to practice? Do you like to play? Okay, if you had your choice, would you rather practice or play? Play. Okay. So, we have this idea like, would you rather watch or rather play?
Play.
Play. Okay. So there's something about playing and participating that awakens something in you. just to talk about Jamaica for a moment. We were in Jamaica. We took a group of six or seven from here. I was just looking at Dawson, and in Jamaica, there's all these different sports. There's just some different sports, whether that be some judo, whether that be cricket, whether that be basketball, whether it be track and field, like everything that there is. Dawson's like, I want in. I want to play. You ever done? No, I don't. I want in. And Dawson would just be, he just loved to compete, don't you? Whatever it is, I want in. And I think that that's a perfect example of why sport is a metaphor for the kingdom. So I want to encourage you tonight to become an active participant in the kingdom of God. So my one point for tonight is that sport teaches us that there is opposition. Sport teaches us that there is opposition. If you're going to win, you need to train. Because there is somebody out there that is practicing right now. There's probably somebody practicing your sport. And if they out-practice you, when you meet them in the field of competition, they'll beat you. That drives you to keep practicing, keep going back. Sport teaches us that there is opposition. Many sports teams, let me go back for a second. Many sports teams have offense and defense. Raise your hand if your sport has offense and defense to it. Okay, so we got offense and defense. Raise your hand if someone is trying to stop you from advancing, accomplishing something in your sport. Okay? Now, there's also individual sports. There's golf. Maybe there's track or swimming, and they're not necessarily, somebody's not trying to stop you. But I think it's designed that the elements themselves, whether that be the pool, whether that be the golf course, whether that be the track or just the physical limitations of yourself, keep you from achieving the goals that you would have. Would that be fair? Okay. So I think that we have to use technique. You have to use training to overcome this opposition. And so in sport, every day you're strengthening your body. Every day you're rehearsing technique. Every day you're watching film. You're watching what you eat. You're stretching. You're training your body. And when you think about sport and you think about the ones that have opposition to them, which side lifts? Which team lifts? You think both teams lift? Which team practices? Would you say that the other team practices as well? They're watching film. Opposition is training as well. So my question to you, if sport is a mirror to the kingdom, is there opposition in the spiritual realm? Have you ever thought about that? Is there opposition in the spiritual realm? And I think a lot of times, Mamola hit on it a little bit. Sometimes I think Christianity's boring. Okay, Jesus came, he died on the cross for my sin. I believe that. Okay, I guess I'll just sit in the pew for the next 50 years and wait to go to heaven. We kind of live like that sometimes. And so I want to challenge tonight that there is opposition. That there is spiritual opposition. Do you realize that there is a war going on for the eternal souls of men and women? Now, I likely don't have to convince you that there's evil in the world. I probably don't need to convince you that bad things happen. There are cases, whether that be war, whether that be slavery, whether that be hatred, I think we can call that the dominion of darkness. Darkness exists, evil exists. How did it start? Well, I'll tell you, on page one of Scripture, God is creating, God is speaking in things into existence. He says, "Let there be light," and it was. God creates man, he creates plants, animals. At the end of creation, in Genesis 1:31, he says, he looked at all of his creation, he says, it's good. In fact, it's very good. And that word, God begins to talk about, it's called, the concept is called shalom. It's an Israeli or a Hebrew greeting, but shalom is peace It means well-being. Every relationship is right. There's abundance. There's peace. There's no lack. Shalom. That's how it was at the end of Genesis 1. It didn't last very long because in Genesis, God tells Adam and Eve, hey, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. I want you to fill the earth. I want you to rule over the plants, the animals. He gives man dominion. Genesis chapter 3, that's when sin enters the world. Man decides, hey, rather than allowing God to define what's good, I want to define good for myself. And there was a serpent in the garden. The serpent, otherwise known as Satan, he basically uses the same tactics now that he did then. But his tactics are to deceive, to distort, and to diminish. So Satan took God's command of, hey, you can eat from any tree except for this one. And then Satan's first question was, did God really say? Did he really say? Making them question what God had said. The second thing he said is, oh, you won't certainly die. You won't die if you eat that. He didn't mean that. So he deceives, and then he distorts the truth, and then he diminishes the consequences of it. And so just like that, sin was broken. Now, this dominion of darkness, I want to show you from Scripture where we find this. Jesus is talking now, and he says that the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He says in Ephesians 2, he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That doesn't sound nice. In Ephesians 6, he says this, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil's scheming for you. Did you know that? And he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, meaning people, but it's against rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's surprising. We often act as if there's a neutral. Scripture would tell us there is no neutral. There is forces of opposition. There is a dominion of darkness that is coming after you. These aren't lightweights. This isn't the JV squad. It's not the freshman team. They're coming after you. Now, what was God's response? God's response to this, if we look, I'm so thankful that Jesus came. I'm going to get to the gospel, otherwise known as good news. The good news is that the Son of God appeared to destroy the devil's work. He came to destroy that. Dylan, I like your new tattoo. Okay. We see that Jesus, he says he came to seek and save the lost. So you see this dominion of darkness. Darkness, you can't see in the dark. Lostness, Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. Colossians, he says this, and this is what I want you to hear. Give joyful thanks to the Father, I underlined it, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the holy people. Sometimes we wonder, Lamola talked about it, I tried to work really hard. I was striving, I was performing. That doesn't work in the kingdom. What qualifies you in the kingdom is not your performance, it's Jesus' performance. He qualified you to share in the inheritance of the holy people. Notice, in the kingdom of light. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Jesus said, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If your life is feeling dark, you're feeling like I can't see, I don't know where I'm going, Jesus is offering, if you believe in him, he says, you will not stay in darkness. Jesus also said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is light. He's offering that. It's him that qualifies. That's Jesus' response. That's the good news. The good news is if you believe in Jesus, you're on the team. He's given you a new jersey. He's given you, he said, welcome, you're on the team. Now, what is the job description? Just like you just went over this week. You get on the team. I'm sure you all had meetings. Coach is beginning to tell you this is the expectation for the team. This is where we're going. This is the vision. This is how we're going to get there. This is the job description, if you will. Jesus also has a job description. The kingdom of light has a job description. Now, I want you to notice there's some differences. Jesus just said, I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me should no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus is giving light to his followers. And now look what he says. He says, you are the light of the world. He says, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He says in Ephesians, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And so his job description, live as children of light. Peter says, you are a chosen people. How many of you want to be chosen? Raise your hand. You like to be chosen. Okay? Nobody likes to be picked last. You're chosen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, I talked about the dominion of darkness and how that's not a JV squad. It's not a freshman team. It's the real deal, and you need to take it serious. But you don't need to be afraid, because Jesus says the one who is in you, he's given you his light, his spirit, and he says that that's greater than the one who is in the world. Now, so as a result of that, what's the goal? What's the goal? Now, this picture, this is my son Gavin. He's 19 now. He's a sophomore here at Mizzou. He's grown a lot. But in this picture, Gavin's playing youth soccer, probably like many of you. One day, Gavin was in the back seat. We're taking him to a soccer game. Gavin was really excited because, you know why? This game, he got to be goalie. He got to be goalie this game. And he was pumped about being goalie. And so I was like, yeah, that's awesome. What's the goalie do? Gets the ball out of the net and gives it to the referee. So, get the ball out of the net and give it to the referee. Now, that was his understanding of, that's my job description. Now, for those of you that know the game of soccer, the goalie's job is not to get it out of the net and give it to the official. That's not the job description. The job description is to keep it from going in the net. But if you think that that's your job, if you're deceived in what the job is, you're not going to train or prepare appropriately. Right? If you think your job description as a Christian is to accept Jesus into your heart and to, well, okay, so now I'm going to read and I'll pray on occasion and maybe I'll go to church. That's not the job description. The job description is there is a war going on. There is a dominion of darkness. Jesus is asking you to be light, you to take your light, shine it in dark places. So the goal, Jesus, his disciples were asking, well, okay, I understand this job description. How should we pray? Look what Jesus says. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your job is to bring, not to wait to go to heaven, but your job is to bring heaven to earth. In your circle of influence, your job is to bring heaven to earth. That's the win. At the end of this, you know, what is the win? In heaven, there will be no more night. This is Revelation 22:5. In heaven, there will not be any darkness. There will not be a need for light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. Our job, Jesus is the light of the world. He gives his light to his followers. He puts it in you and he says, go be the light of the world. Let your light shine. Bring heaven to earth. And when we get there, I'll be the light. So from now until then, that's your job to shine. Your sport can be a way in which you shine the light of Jesus. So I want you to be an active participant in the kingdom. I want to redeem every aspect of sport. I want this to be the theme for our semester going forward. So as you lift tomorrow, as you go in and get and lift, God, would you strengthen me that I may be, may I be strong in your kingdom, that when I encounter spiritual opposition, that I'm strong enough to go through that. As you're stretching, God, would you make me more flexible? Would you make my body be able to do what you're asking it to do? As you're watching film, man, that is a reminder. Jesus, I know that I see the opponent's tactics in the sport that I'm playing. May I see in the spiritual that there are people coming against me. Would you give me a heart to compete? You've given me a jersey. I don't want to stay on the spiritual sideline. I want to play. And I think you saw from Amola, when you play and when you are living as light, that's a lot of fun. Christianity is no longer boring when you're bringing the light. So, I want you at your tables for the next few minutes. I've got a couple of discussion questions for you. So just discuss around your table for the next few minutes. Thank you.